Hi, everyone. This is Josh Nason of WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome to another edition of JNPO Classic. This is when we look back at my run on the WJAM MMA show for ESPN Radio New Hampshire in 2011-2012. We are in the month of October. October 6, 2011, we go back in time for a no-guest edition of the show. However, there's a lot of newsworthy things here. And we talked about the light heavyweight division a lot in the show. It was in the news back the first week of October in 2011 because Lyoto Machida was booked to fight John Jones for the title. Not Rashad Evans, who after his Jones's big win over Rampage Jackson, the rivalry, you know, was there. Everyone assumed it was going to be Evans versus Jones next. However, due to a hand injury, Evans had to pull out of the consideration for that fight. So we talked a lot about why Machida got this shot. He was coming off the big win over Randy Couture at UFC 129 in Toronto. But we kind of questioned why he got the shot, why this fight needed to be made so quickly. And, you know, we'll kind of the running undercurrent of this show was, quote-unquote, the light heavyweight division needs help. Almost 8 years later, it still needs a lot of help. We did a full preview of what we thought was going to be a really fun show, UFC 136, headlined by Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard III in Houston, Texas. Also on that show, Jose Aldo versus Kenny Florian. And, you know, we loved Jose Aldo at the time. It's so wild to think of all these years later. Kind of look at, we don't really know where he is in his career after two straight losses to Max Holloway. Brian Stann versus Chael Sonnen was on that show. We talked, we talked about DJ versus DC. And I don't know why that is. Demetrius Johnson versus Daniel Cormier. Dominic Cruz. What an idiot. Demetrius Johnson versus Dominic Cruz. That fight had just happened. And let's see what else. And I think that's about it. So, again, no guests in this edition of the show. But, again, if you're in MMA history and kind of looking back at, you know, how things were seven, almost 8 years ago. And, again, this light heavyweight division thing, still a mess all these years later. I think you guys will really enjoy this. So, without further ado, let's get to the October 6, 2011 edition of the WJAM MMA show on JNPO Classic. Enjoy. Deepest card of the year is this Saturday. We'll have your full preview. John Jones' next title defense is set, but it's not against who you think. We dissect the American Revolution from an alien's point of view. It's Thursday, October 6th, and the WGAM MMA show is live.
I'm not betting on the guys in the red coats from them.
Nope, certainly not. I decided to throw that one in there, PJ. Hey, everyone, WGAM MMA show. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt with you. As I said, Thursday, it's October 6th, PJ, and you know what that means? It's October.
Felt like it outside today. It was very, very sunny, but also very chilly, and the leaves have started to fall up here in New England, and I like it, though, because it also means something else has started, and as we record this tonight, the Boston Bruins have begun their defense of the Stanley Cup championship they won last summer. Both you and I are big hockey fans, so I'm excited about that, but also excited to be talking some MMA tonight. UFC 136 coming up this weekend.
Yep. Actually, you said it very well. Bruins are actually on the TV right now, up 1-0 as we record this. So by the time that you listen to this, they may have lost.
We'll be following the Bruins on WGAM tonight. So hopefully you've just listened to the game on WGAM, and now you're listening to the MMA show.
Hooray! All right. So again, as PJ mentioned, the biggest card and arguably the deepest card, as I said at the top of the broadcast, is this Saturday night, UFC 136. We'll talk all about that. We will talk about John Jones' next opponent, and it is not who you think it is. And obviously, we'll talk about last weekend with Demetrius Johnson and Dominic Cruz. Obviously, a great, great fight, and one that was very exciting. And we'll talk all about that. No guests tonight. It's just Josh and PJ with you for the next hour here in the MMA show. So, PJ, let's kick it off. Let's start with probably the biggest news of the day. This news broke today, this afternoon. And, you know, John Jones and Rashad Evans is a fight that many people were looking forward to, especially after John Jones took apart Rampage Jackson just a couple weeks ago. And is basically a given that Rashad Evans was the next opponent for John Jones. A great fight, a grudge match there. Good friends, now bitter enemies. And guess what? That fight's not happening, at least not anytime soon.
again. Yeah, an injury to the hand of Rashad Evans has again forced his fight for a championship fight to be postponed. And now they bring up a guy whose last fight was against the very old, very aging, and I'll put you into retirement with a crane kick.
Yes.
Against Captain America there, Randy Couture. And it's Lyoto Machida.
Lyoto Machida.
Yeah, and my first reaction when I heard that was like, oh, yeah, this is the next win on John Jones's belt. Because, I don't know, Rampage couldn't do it. And Rampage had a very close decision win over Lyoto Machida. I really doubt that Machida's going to be able to hang with him. But then he does have a little bird in his shoulder. That bird in his shoulder. That makes no sense.
Oh, PJ is all worked up because the
birds. I'm watching in the reflection of the window now. But he does have a little something in his pocket with Steven Seagal now that he's trained with. Steven Seagal has a really good record with walking guys down to the octagon with Lyoto Machida and Anderson Silva before that too. So I don't know. Now it's a little closer. I think that could be a tipping factor. No, I don't. I think John Jones is going to roll over Lyoto Machida. And,
let's actually rewind a little bit. So John Jones versus Lyoto Machida for the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship, set for the main event of UFC 140 in Toronto. So that card is really filling out really well. We'll look at that here in a minute. Actually, PJ, if you want to look up 140 on the Wikipedia and show you some of the we'll talk about some of the events that have or some of the fights for that event. So John Jones. He is okay. Let's take a step back because again, the first thing I heard this was okay. What happened to Rashad Evans? All right, so Rashad Evans. There was a rumor that his hand had been hurt in that fight in August against Tito Ortiz. So the first thing I thought of was okay. Well, what happened to Rashad? Why did this fight have to happen? And so on. So actually, Rashad Evans released a statement today. This statement was after my last fight with Tito Ortiz. I dislocated my right thumb, which required to be set back in place and held with pins. 24 hours ago, my physician removed the pins. At the time, I learned that it would require another 3 weeks of rehab before engaging in any exercise or training. That would require the use of my hand. Dana White and I spoke earlier today, and I fully understand his decision to put Machida against Jones for the title at UFC 140. Given the rehab time I require for my dislocated thumb, I would not be 100% ready by December 10th. The UFC has to keep making fights to entertain the fans. I would have done the same thing as Dana in his position. I'm asking the fans to support me as I rehab my hand. I promise I'll be back fighting very quickly. So before we go to that card, let's talk about this decision. All right. Actually, you know what? No. Go. Give me the top five fights as you see that on that card for UFC 140.
On 140?
Correct.
All right. Top five fights.
December 10th, UFC 140 in Toronto.
Of course, headlined by John Jones, Lyoto Machida. The co-main event that night is Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira versus Frank Mir. The other Nogueira, Antonio Rogério Nogueira, will be facing Tito Ortiz. Brian Ebersol will take on Rory McDonald, and Dennis Hallman will take on John McDessie.
Okay. So the first thing I thought of, and I still think, is why did that fight need to happen now? Why for December, right?
So yeah, could they not just push it back a little bit?
Why couldn't they just, why did they have to have, why did this fight have to main event that show? And that's why I don't understand. Because, again, with Evans, it's not like Evans was going to be out for months and months and months and months and months. You know, he basically hurt his hand. He's going to be able to start training, as we talked about, in our 3 weeks of rehab. So we're not talking about months. You know, we're talking about probably, you know, again, the first quarter. I think most people are planning for that, maybe February, like we talked about before, you know, February, March, something along those lines. So, again, assuming that, again, we're in December, why did that fight have to happen now? And the other question I had is, how is Lyoto Machida qualified to fight for the UFC light heavyweight title after a not great stretch? And I believe the Couture victory, I believe, snapped a 2-fight win streak officially with a big asterisk. You could really call a 3-fight win streak because 3-fight losing streak rather, because
he lost
that first fight to Shogun.
Yeah.
So you have his record up right there.
I do.
Okay, what before that victory, what was – he had 2 losses or 3 losses?
No, you're right. 2 losses to Shogun and Rampage, and before that, his wins came over going backwards against Shogun in controversial fashion. Rashad Evans, of course, gave him his first loss, Thiago Silva and Tito Ortiz. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Here, I've said this for months and months and months and months and months, that the light heavyweight division is not it needs help.
Yeah,
because it's aging veterans that aren't qualified for the title. It's too many guys on the way up and too many guys that are well on the way down.
And John Jones, who is just better than all of them right now.
Right. So John Jones is superior. Rampage Jackson was a qualified contender. He's out. So Rashad Evans was the next logical guy. So a guy that has a victory over, as you said, a 47-year-old man, and if you want to call, you know, as Dana White referred to him, I think he's still top 10 in the world or something like that. I'm sorry. At some point, he's just not, right? So, again, it's looking at this thing, like, logistically, who else is there?
Right. I think it's one of those things where we really have no one else. Mm-hmm.
As CJ looks
the
back.
Flyers just go up 2-1 real quick.
I shouldn't even say anything about the score. So here's the problem, though. So after Evans, there's really no next contender. The next contender ideally being Dan Henderson and Mauricio Shogun-Hua, who are going to fight in November. And that was going to be, essentially the next number one contender fight. So now the winner of that fight, is he going to be the number one contender? Probably not, because you already have this other guy that's supposed to have a title shot. It just so logistically blows my mind, because they didn't need to have this fight for December 10th. Find a different fight, right? Number two, Machida is not qualified to be fighting for the title. Number three, it screws up your next number one contender, because you already have two guys fighting. It's amazingly frustrating for me. I don't get it. And this is the problem with having too many shows.
Yeah, and then Machida, who was originally linked to fight Rashad Evans, and then bailed out of that fight because he wanted Anderson Silva money, and Dana White was not happy about that. And this is almost like, well, I don't want to say he got rewarded for that, but I mean, if you're going to come out and say, you know, this is not the attitude we want for our fighters, but then his next fight is a championship fight, is it really like, did Machida like threaten to walk? Like, why? Like, do they? Why? Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you there. Like, why is he? I'm only assuming because he's the next step down, and they already had the Shogun Dan Henderson fight already set up. So they, like, Machida was the next one on. They want to have John Jones fight because he's now becoming this huge draw, and he's one of the more talented fighters that they have. I think I would say it has to do more with getting John Jones, at least getting him out there to fight and showcasing him.
But the early indications of the pay-per-view Jones on it, the Jones Rampage, were that they weren't great, right? So again,
but is it just like him though, or does this have to do with the other fights that were on the card?
It's a combination of things, right? It's the fact that I think John Jones has been a little bit overexposed. I think it's at some point you have to. You're trying to make stars, right? And the idea is you're making stars. People are like, I want to pay to see this guy. And John Jones has been everywhere so much that you would pay to see him fight Rashad. I don't think you would pay to see him fight Lyoto Machida. So if you absolutely have no other options to put in that fight, right, in that event, so why don't – if you're going to start doing this – the next logical opponent is Machida versus Phil Davis. Everyone knows that, all right? Everyone just knew that was going to be it. So now Phil Davis doesn't have a next opponent, regardless. So what I would have done is if you had to have John Jones in that fight, pull Dan Henderson from the Shogun fight and put him there. And maybe put Phil Davis against Shogun instead, if you have to do that. At least have someone in there that should be qualified to fight for your the top light heavyweight title in the world. Dan Henderson was a champion in Strikeforce. A nice little win streak is knocking guys out. You can do that. John, champion versus champion, just like they were doing GSP and Nick Diaz, right? So why don't you do that instead of Machida, who just he ducked out of that fight with Rashad because he said he was going to do it, then he wanted more money. He's won once in his last three fights, and arguably once in his last four. My mind just exploded. It actually just exploded in air how, and I hate complaining and about fights and things like that, but it's just, this one, it doesn't make any sense from any angle. It really bothers me that how this came together.
Hey, what do you think of the rest of that card as it stands right now?
It's good. It's veteran laden. You know what I mean? There are names on there as far as They're guys that
there's a lot of experience in those top three fights.
So there's So it's Frank Mir versus Big Nog, right?
Yep.
There is Little Nog versus Tito Ortiz.
Yep.
And then there is
Brian Ebersole and Rory McDonald.
Brian Ebersole has fought like 1,000 times versus, but it's still entertaining. So at Rory McDonald, who's the basically the next GSP. I think that's a little too much. But and what's the fifth? Did you say?
Yep. It's Dennis Hallman. And John McDesky.
John McDesky actually is very excited. He fought at UFC 129 in Toronto, really quick, spinning back fist. And, of course, you'll remember Dennis Hallman as the man in the Speedo.
How could we forget?
We'll never forget him. So that was the big...
and a very unimpressed Dana White.
We'll never forget him.
Who gave Brian Ebersole, who beat him, the bonus... I think it was supposed to be for the submission of the night bonus, but there was no submission of the night.
He added on an extra bonus.
Oh, he added on an extra bonus.
Basically, get him off my TV bonus is what he called it. I saw that live. Lucky me. So we'll get that out of the way. Again, we'll see what you think. You can always comment. Hit us up on Twitter at Twitter, at @WGAM_MMA. You can also look in Facebook. Search for WGAM MMA. You can look there. And so we'll talk about that. We have a huge event this weekend. We'll start to get into it now. We'll talk about more in our second break. So we have a pretty big main event. This whole card is huge, but let's start with the main event. You have two title fights on this card. And the reason that I heard today that the title fight between Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard is going to be the main event as opposed to Jose Aldo and Kenny Florian is because they're heavier.
Really?
That's the only reason why. But I can justify it because this was a...
Not by much.
No. This is...
10 pounds, but
this
is counts.
This is a... this is going to be... If it's anything like January 1st when these two fought for the second time, this is going to be an awesome fight. Anyone that saw that fight, it was a back-and-forth battle. I urge you to try to find it somewhere by legal means, of course, but, you know, be inventive. Look on YouTube and so on and so forth. However... It was just an awesome fight. Gray Maynard coming out and knocking the hell out of Frankie Edgar in the first round. There was backflips, essentially, back with somersaults. Frankie Edgar was in a lot of trouble, and he just fought back, and it was ended up being a draw in a 5-round fight. And that was something you don't really see that often, if at all. And it was an awesome fight. And now these two were supposed to fight earlier this year, Memorial Day weekend, got pushed back due to injuries by both guys. They're both healthy. They're coming into it. Frankie Edgar's defending the title. Gray Maynard's going for it the third time, and there will be no fourth fight, even if there's a draw. Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard, PJ, what do you say?
Well, Frankie Edgar is a guy who, before he became champion and beat BJ Penn, was a guy very few people gave a chance to when he first got in there, and then just kind of... I would say, for the most part, just outlasted BJ Penn. He fights at an incredible pace. He's extremely well-conditioned, beat BJ Penn, and then defended his title against BJ Penn. And then you mentioned it. Gray Maynard came out in their last fight. And Gray Maynard, who's given Frankie Edgar his only loss, albeit, you know, going back to 2008 is when that fight took place. But I thought Gray Maynard won the fight or did enough to win the fight. But then again, sometimes the judges can look in favor of the champion and you have to do a little bit more as, you know, try to win that. But I could see how it's a draw, but I gave Gray Maynard that fight. Regardless, I think it's going to be fantastic. It was the last weekend that Joe Rogan had an interview, did that double box interview with both fighters at the same time.
That was a USC versus card. That was... Yeah. Go ahead. I have something to say about that in a minute.
No, please jump in.
It was terrible. It was the most boring interview ever. And the idea is you're supposed to be selling and promoting fights, right?
They didn't sound like they were too fond of each other, but yeah, you're right.
They sound like they didn't even care. I mean, Joe Rogan usually, he was trying to get them into it, and they can't sell a fight to save their lives. I think, again, that's the reason why this is headlining a card that has a lot of great fights underneath it because these two can't sell it on their own. I wouldn't have picked those two guys to sell the event. We'll talk about the two guys I would have picked in our second segment. But I'm trying to think back to that first fight, who I thought won. And I think I rewatched it back, and I think I gave Maynard the edge, I believe, but it wasn't by much, and I didn't have too much debate about the draw. Have you seen the ad of the UFC 136 ad, as far as the great debate?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I might have, I'd like, yeah, I might
I,
have
I don't know. I think we can actually play video right? Video audio
yeah.
on air.
Oh yeah.
When we come back for our next break, I want to play that for the listeners at home because it was really awesome. I going into this, I'm trying to think of who to favor. Edgar's a weird. It's weird because he hasn't like. He wins, but people, even after the pen fights, people weren't like, oh, this guy's like the next great, you know, lightweight. They haven't fully bought into him. Maynard, I think people can appreciate but aren't really in him because he can't really talk a good game, even though he's a really funny guy. So it's a kind of that personality thing. I would say if I had to pick right now, I'm going to go with an upset, and I'm going to pick Gray Maynard. And I wouldn't say
it's a
mild upset. I think when he beat the champion that, you know. I'm going to say Maynard. It's going to go five rounds. I think Maynard's going to do enough to beat him and become the new lightweight champion. What do you think?
And I agree with you. I think Gray Maynard will take that. And going back to Frankie Edgar and finishing fights, his 10 UFC fights, he has two finishes, one versus Mark Bocek back in 2007 where he TKO'd him. That was UFC 73. That was way back then. God, I forget. They have so many shows. Like even it seems like it's so long ago. It's like, oh, UFC 73, that was forever. Now it's only about 4 years ago. And his other finish was against Matt Veach, his fight right before BJ Penn where he submitted him through a rear naked choke. That was back in December of 2009. All his other fights have been decisions. Or gone to decisions.
So, well, let me ask you this. Do you think that, how important to you is finishing fights?
I think it's more important, I think, on your way to, like, climbing the ladder to try to get a championship fight. Once you're the champion, you know, if you win and you outlast guys like George St. Pierre does, but he doesn't finish fights necessarily, but he's one of those guys that after you've been in a fight with George St. Pierre, you know, you look like you've been in a fight with George St. Pierre. I think it's more important to help prove yourself on the way to becoming a champion. Once you're a champion, and if you, you know, every fight you fight in goes five rounds, but you continuously win, I think it takes it back a little, you know, I don't think it's as important. I think it's more important to get there.
So basically, once you're there, it's okay to go to decisions.
I think so. I think you can achieve success more, like, and as far as climbing the ladder to get to a point mm-hmm. by finishing guys, as opposed to, you know, going the John Fitch route of just, you know, every fight goes to decision. Every fight goes to decision, and it just takes that much longer before you realize, well, why hasn't he got a title fight yet? Well, he doesn't finish guys. That's kind of the thing you hear.
I would argue, though, and this is why I think it's important to finish. You don't have to finish every fight. And sometimes
right.
this is why it drives me crazy. Like, you can't let go of the judges. Sometimes fights just go to the judges. These are high-level guys competing, and that's sometimes what happens. But Rampage Jackson, if you look over his last, I don't know, five fights, again, they always go to decision. They mm-hmm. just always do. I haven't come away.
But he's in a different point in his career than some of these other guys.
But he is. So at what point, again, and I don't know where I fully fall on this.
Right.
And it's a question.
And it's more exciting, I guess, too. Like, that's the fans obviously want to see guys or see fights end decisively mm-hmm. and see a guy get knocked out or choked out.
And I would also argue it shows progression as a mixed martial artist, knowing that you have the skills, be it your striking or your submissions, to be able, once you get in the position to finish, to be able to do that. I would say that most people you would talk to that are trained for that want to be able to get to that point because, again, it shows that they're able to complete that stage, I guess. So great debate. We'll debate that till the end of time. So you guys can look forward to that for the next 50 years from me and PJ. Actually, let's go to the break right now. We come back. We'll talk about the rest of this awesome card. We'll talk about the fight of last weekend that PJ and I both loved. And we still got to talk about those aliens. This is the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. Music is quite familiar, Mr. Hewitt. Anything to say for yourself?
Well, it was in honor of the Boston Bruins opening night. Play some Dropkick Murphys.
WGAM MMA Show. We are here on a Thursday night, October 6th. Bruins are back on, losing 2-1 as we record this. So we'll get right into it. We are previewing 136. The 136, you know, it's actually not, they've had more than 136.
Pay-per-views?
Yeah. Because some of the early events, they actually didn't number. They call it like UFC the Ultimate or something like that. So there's more than 136. But I don't think, unlike comics, they're not going to do a renumbering or a reboot. I remember at one point I argued for the fact that I thought that they should They should actually, after UFC 100, stop the numbering. But then it was kind of like, well,
what do you name them?
Yeah. So I
actually, but at that point, you could just go whatever it is, whatever the main fight is. So UFC, you know, Edgar versus Maynard 3 or 2, you know, I guess for championship-wise. But technically, I guess the third fight. And then that would be the name of it. So the next one, this upcoming, or 140 would be, you know, UFC Jones versus Machida.
Yeah. The numbering, though, does – I'll tell you what, the numbering system, though, it helps me remember. It helps me keep things in track.
Maybe that's why they kept it.
Yeah.
Just simplify it. Yeah, just – they'll just keep going up and up.
I guess that's Matt after all.
UFC 946.
Mm. Yeah, well, it will get to some point. We'll have to do that. So, but we digress. Let's talk more about UFC 136 this Saturday. First segment, we talked about the main event, and we talked all about Rashad Evans not being the next title contender for John Jones. But we'll talk about another championship fight. So, again, talk about Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard. The co-main event, a true co-main event, if you really think about it here. Featherweight championship, Jose Aldo, the champion against Kenny Florian, a former WGAM guest.
Friend of the show.
Great interview. Kenny Florian versus Jose Aldo. Kenny Florian getting the shot after a victory over Diego Nunez. And Jose Aldo creating the Hominick Hematoma on Mark Hominick at April's UFC 129. Probably his a tough victory for him. Usually he's used to finishing guys. We were just talking about finishing guys last break. He went to 5 rounds with Hominick, which I think a lot of people were surprised about. Very interesting and important fight for Jose Aldo. Kenny Florian at 33 years old, I believe. This is his last shot at a title. A lot closer, I think, to the end of his career than the beginning.
35, Kenny Florian.
35, so yeah. Definitely closer. Jose Aldo versus Kenny Florian, PJ, what do you think?
Well, Jose Aldo, one of the more exciting fighters in the UFC right now, only has that one fight that we talked about, that win over Mark Hominick, where he pretty much gave him another head by beating the head so much that it gave him the hematoma, but as everyone was calling it on Twitter, the Hominick Hematoma.
Did everyone call?
Did you coin it? I thought I started seeing it. Well, I'll give it. Well, obviously, since you're my partner here, we'll give credit to you. Like
I should
you
trademark
it.
That, huh?
Especially if it happens again the next time Hominick fights. But I think Kenny Florian's going to have a really, really tough time with Jose Aldo. He did very, very well in his debut at featherweight. Against Diego Nunez, he looked very impressive, but Aldo's one of those guys that you know, he's a
killer when he's on.
Oh my God, that's putting it lightly and maybe not giving enough credit, but I think Aldo's gonna I'd say probably gonna finish this fight, even though I'm gonna be rooting for Kenny Florian. I really like him. I want to see him succeed. It'll be great to have a guy who's been on our show become champion. You know, Demetrius Johnson couldn't get it done. Yeah. And we'll talk
spoiler
about
spoiler alert. We're going to talk about
we'll talk about. Well, if you didn't know by now. So, but I'm like I said, I'll be rooting for Kenny Florian, but I think he's going to have a really, really tough time.
Let's kind of looking back over the past few years at Kenny Florian. He hasn't lost many fights, and that's probably the most important thing. I'd say over his last like 10 fights, he's lost twice. Both were actually BJ Penn, a notable loss at UFC 101 back in August 2009. That was when he last competed for the lightweight championship. Last loss to Gray Maynard. A very frustrating fight to watch. That was at UFC 118 in Boston. I was there at cage side covering the event. Kenny he couldn't seem to get off on that fight, right? He was just staying there. He just couldn't seem to get comfortable. Perhaps the atmosphere may have led a little bit to that. Perhaps he was overwhelmed by the moment being in Boston. On the flip side, Joe Lozon, coincidentally also fighting on this event this Saturday, also on that Boston card and didn't run into that at all. So I thought that was kind of interesting there.
That could be just the pressure that you put on yourself at that point.
But do you remember what Dana White said after that Gray Maynard fight?
Please remind me.
He talked about Kenny being a choker. He just said Kenny chokes in big situations. And then Kenny said, I don't think I do. Kenny said the only time he ever choked, he felt was in the Ultimate Fighter finale. That's what I believe he said in an interview this week. So, you know, Florian has only fought once this year. Again, that was against Diego Nunez, again, dropping to 145. This will be his second fight. I thought he looked okay in that Nunez fight. I wasn't, like, blown away. I thought he beat a younger guy who was very hungry and kind of took his will out of him. But Jose Aldo, if you've never seen Jose Aldo fight, he's a WEC veteran. He's a guy that just, boy, where do we begin? He's 19-1. before the Hamnick fight, defeated Uriah Faber, crushed Manny Kambirian, crushed Mike Brown, crushed Cub Swanson. He just went on an absolute tear. He was reminded me a lot of a young Anderson Silva in that when he would get guys on the ground, this is something like Jose Aldo had patented, right? When a guy's kind of on the ground, kind of kneeling forward, and he slips those fists in under the guy's armpit, guy's trying to fend, doesn't even see them coming. He just turns it on to the point that it's like pinpoint accuracy. He's a crusher, man. He is really good. So he goes in there. He wants to prove a point, you know? He wants to prove a point that he is not a decision fighter, I would assume. And he wants to go in there and, I think, make a statement. And I think he's going to defeat Kenny Florin. And I think he's going to do it by TKO. And I'm going to give it, say, in the third round. That's my pick.
I'm going to go one more. I think Kenny Florian does enough. I think he make it to the championship rounds. But I think Aldo by then will have worn him down to the point where he can TKO him. So I'll go TKO in the fourth round.
TKO in the fourth round. Yep. So going to be a tough night for Kenny Florian. I think he's game for it. It would be tremendous. It would be quite an upset if he was able to. We're talking about upset.
Oh, huge.
It would be huge. Jose Aldo is a beast. But Kenny Florian's going to get a shot this
season. And hasn't lost. Aldo hasn't since 2005. Mm. And it's his only loss of his career.
A lifetime ago.
Yeah.
A lifetime ago. So that's going to be the two co-main events. Two title fights. I think that's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. So we look for the third fight of the night. And this really should have been the fight that was promoting, right?
Yeah.
Promoting this event because
guys who can talk.
Edgar Maynard cannot talk. Jose Aldo doesn't speak English very well, if at all. Kenny Florian can talk the talk, but again, you kind of need a partner if you're trying to sell the fight. This one really needs no selling, but should have been the one selling this event. Brian Stann, the Marine, the All-American, the fast-rising 185-pounder, taking on the returning champion of my heart, Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen, we last saw coming just this close.
About a minute and a half or so from defeating Anderson Silva.
At UFC 1.
A fight that he begged into, or I shouldn't say begged into. I guess you could say that because he texted Dana White after Anderson Silva that the disappointing fight against Damian Maia, right?
That was the Abu Dhabi
fight where he was kind of taunting him, could have finished him, didn't finish him, was doing the weird kind of moving and throwing his arms down and... Dana White wouldn't even put the belt on Anderson Silva after that fight. And Chael Sonnen, apparently from all reports, texted Dana White or called Dana White right away and said, I'll fight him. Yeah, I will fight Anderson Silva and I'll put him away. And as we said, just that close to getting the victory before Anderson Silva caught him. And Sonnen just gave the lightest of taps, but it was a tap out. And then he ran into some trouble. After the fight, some failing testosterone issues, and then his real estate business and losing his real estate license, and he's had some trouble, but he appears to be over and or past everything now, and it'll be good to hear him to build a fight again, because he can talk crap better than anyone else in this company, I'm convinced.
I will say we did not have a guest tonight. We put in a request for whatever reason. It was just a busy week, and they couldn't accommodate us. We did request Chael Sonnen to be on the show, and my hope is that someday he will be. So hopefully someday look for that. Sonnen knows how to build a fight. The Sonnen used to be an old wrestling fan and actually almost went to WCW to work in their training
facility.
That's
something I didn't know.
Back in the day, he did.
The power plant.
See, you knew that.
Oh.
Very good. So
man.
He knows how to promote. He gets it. And again, he's a guy, he's not young. He's coming off basically a year plus long layoff. Because he fought, that fight was in August of 2010, if I remember.
Correct.
Wow. How do I remember this crap? I remember my telephone number at times. So Chael Sonnen, he fought in that fight. Again, came just so close. Again, had really the year from hell. He gets in there against Brian Stann. Brian Stann has looked nothing short of awesome in his last several fights. Again, last fight he competed in, defeating George Santiago July 4th weekend, the event there on the undercard of Faber versus Cruz, and looked great. I mean, he absolutely looked great in that fight, and I believe second round TKO. And both, essentially, this is a 185-pound number one contenders fight. Chael Sonnen versus Brian Stann. What do you think, PJ?
Well, this will be Brian Stan's true coming out party now to prove that he belongs at the top of his division if he can get through Chael Sonnen. And I think it's going to be a real tough fight. I think this is probably go the distance, and I'm going to give the fight to Brian Stan. But he's one of those guys now. You mentioned that he's a Marine. He's a guy that people love to cheer for. They really get behind him. His last three victories, you mentioned George Santiago, Chris Lieben. He TKO'd Chris Lieben, which is something that's not very easy to do. Lieben's got a head like a brick. And Mike Massenzio, and he submitted him. And he's finished. We talked about finishing guys. He's finished his last three fights. The fight before that, he was a loss to Phil Davis back at UFC 109 in February of 2010. But since he's rebounded, and a win over Chael Sonnen puts him right at the top and possibly in contention for a title, or at least an eliminator fight.
And so Chael Sonnen, I'm looking over his record. He's fought all tough guys, right? So he fought Anderson Silva, Nate Marquardt, Yushin Okami, Dan Miller, Damian Maia. That was like his last, five fights. He fights top guys.
Yeah.
I think that he doesn't get enough credit for that. I think a year-long layoff for a guy that he is 34 years old, that it's not easy to do. I think he's going to put up a good fight, but I think Stan versus Silva is just, it seems to be like, that's going to be a big money fight, and that seems to be kind of a collision course of where we're at. I think Stan's going to win this by unanimous decision. I think he's going to look good doing it, and I think we're going to get that build to Silva versus Stan, and that's going to be a mega pay-per-view for the early part of next year. That's my prediction for that fight. And your prediction, you said, was standby decision as well?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
But I by no means think Sonnen's going to look too rusty. I think it's going to be a very, very good fight.
I think it's going to be awesome. So, and also, if you happen to look around the interwebs and you need something to do as you're listening to this, or after you're listening to this, rather, don't stop listening to the show. Chael Sonnen actually has done some pretty crazy interviews I've heard this week, so including one of the fight show with Mauro Ranallo. So be sure to go try to find that. I've heard it's quite nutty. Leonard Garcia versus Nam Phan, also on the main card. This is a rematch of a very controversial fight, I believe, at the Ultimate Fighter 11
finale,
where Nam Phan won the fight. And the judges said, no, you didn't. Leonard Garcia did. And everyone's like, boo, that's not true at all.
And really set off Joe Rogan that night, too, talking about controversial decisions. And
the Spaniards would say he was El Furioso.
El Furioso.
I don't speak Spanish very well, but that's what I would say. El Furioso. When in doubt, just say El Furioso. So Leonard Garcia and Nam Phan. Leonard Garcia, really known for just wild swinging punches during fights. His technique just starts to go out the window the more he gets tired. Garcia, I am completely – oh, the Korean zombie, Chan Yung-sung.
Yep.
Was who he fought, which is the really notable, the first fight. The second one was kind of dull. Garcia is a – he's not a contender by any means. He's basically just a entertaining nutcase who goes out there and just goes berserk. Nam Phan coming off the Ultimate Fighter 12. No one really heard of him. You know, he's a veteran. He's fought for a while.
Going back to 2001.
And his last fight wasn't against Garcia. Who was it against?
Mike Brown.
And he won, correct?
He lost in a decision.
Ah, yep. Yes. So two guys, they're going to get it on again. That Garcia Phan fight was pretty fun the first time. Leonard Garcia versus Nam Phan, PJ. What do you think?
Well, despite that controversial decision where he wouldn't win, he should have won, but he lost. So you got to count it as an actual loss. And going back, he has not put two wins together since 2007. He lost one out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He has won two out of those last seven fights, the last two in the UFC. So he's a guy who's really had a hard time putting it together as he progresses in his career. Leonard Garcia, in that loss to Chan Sung Young, or Jung Chang Sung.
El Furioso.
El Furioso. Speaking of guys who hasn't put two wins together, he hasn't put two wins together since 2008. It's been a loss, win, loss, draw, win, loss, win, loss.
500 fighter.
Yeah. So I think this is, I would say if it holds true, if it's anything like the last fight, it'll be good, but both of these guys, I don't know, maybe in the back of their heads.
DJ, what's your pick?
I'm going to pick Nam Phan.
Nam Phan.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't, honestly, both of these guys probably if a loss could spell the end of their careers in UFC.
I will pick Fan as well. I think this is going to be another decision fight. I think it's going to be a night of decisions, except for Aldo Florian. But I think Garcia versus Fan is going to be really fun. I think Fan's going to, I think Fan's striking is going to outdo Garcia's. I think he's a little bit more disciplined. Again, the tape on Garcia and the scouting report is pretty obvious. He will start swinging wildly, avoid those shots. Be disciplined, and you'll be able to pick him apart and win. So I'm going to pick Nam Phan as well. Final fight of the main card, another awesome fight. Local guy, another former WGAM MMA show friend, guest, Joe Lozon, gets another shot at a big fight, taking on Melvin Gallard, a guy that's been on an absolute tear.
Also a friend of the show,
the golf course interview.
Yes.
Go back in our archives and listen to that. They were actually on the same show, coincidentally enough. We actually had them on, so that was fun. So Gallard, it could be argued that he was going to be the next number one contender. That may get a little bit muddied here. I would say if Gallard wins this, he is no doubt the number one contender, unless they bring Gil Melendez over from Strikeforce and kind of screw that up. Joe Lozon doesn't need a victory because he's a UFC favorite. He fights in exciting fights and wins. However, when he fights against the big competition lately, and his last big fight was against George Soteropoulos, he did not perform that well in that fight. He did not win that fight. And then he came back and beat a guy that nobody really heard of. It seems to be kind of a trend. He fought at that UFC Boston card, beat up, what is his name?
Gabe Rudiger.
Gabe Rudiger. Yep. Gabe Rudiger lost to Soteropoulos. Beat what is the guy's name? He fought last
Kurt Warburton.
Yeah, no one's heard of Kurt Warburton. I mean, honestly, right? And then so now he's getting another big fight. So this is his chance to shine. But he's going up there against a very tough guy, Melvin Gallard. Gallard versus Lozon, PJ. Which is a tough one to pick.
It is. Melvin Gallard's strung together some five wins in a row now. His last one against Shane Roller back at UFC 132.
Big knockout.
Yeah, and before that too, Evan Dunham, where he won knockout of the night back at UFC Fight
big
for the
knockout.
Troops. Yeah, so he's had some big knockouts. Joe Lozon has his last couple wins. We mentioned Kurt Warburton, Gabe Rudiger, both submissions, and so I would like to think that Joe Lozon would probably want to take this fight to the ground, and Gallard would want to keep this fight standing up. Lozon, I'm really pulling for him. He was great for us. He did not talk to us on a golf course as Gallard did, and where we couldn't really even hear him.
How dare he?
You mentioned go back to listen to it. I said just skip past the Gallard interview because it was terrible, just wind blowing, phone breaking up. He could care less about us while he was out on the golf course. But this is going to be a real tough. I'm going to go upset here. I'm going to go Joe Lozon.
Joe Lozon.
I'm going to
go
Joe Lozon. Okay. Yeah, because and Lozon always puts on a great fight. His last, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of the last 7 fights have been either fight of the night or he has won with submission of the night. So
he's an exciting fighter.
He always puts on a good fight. So I think that we mentioned Stan and Son might be a fight of the night possibility. This one could be as well. But I'm going to go Joe Lozon, and I'm going to say that he submits him. He gets him to the ground, and he catches him and submits Melvin Gallard.
Wow.
And I'll say that in the third round.
That is bold. I'm going to go the exact opposite. If you listen back to that interview, I think Gallard is ready. I think he's right at that peak where he is now. He's championship level. Tough for Joe Lozon to get an opponent like Gallard at this stage, but Gallard is finishing guys. He looks really great. I think he's going to finish Joe Lozon via second-round TKO. I think it's going to be a referee stoppage. And Gallard is going to make his claim to be the next guy in line for the winner of Edgar versus Maynard. So that is my pick. I wish the best of Joe Lozon. I'd love it if he won. However, Melvin Gallard is going to pick up the big victory this Saturday night. So, having said all that, we'll take our final break of the evening. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Dominic Cruz, Demetrius Johnson. We'll talk a little bit about The Ultimate Fighter and maybe just really go over quick the Spike Card portion of Saturday's event. This is the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, the game. Alrighty, final segment, WGAM MMA Show. We have tons to talk about this last segment. We've talked so much the first two. We're going to go lightning round. This last one, PJ. People have not joined us up to this point. For some reason, they have been doing other things. They have been out gardening, shoveling snow, doing whatever they're doing. However, they can go back and listen to any show, and so I don't want to be angry at them, so let's give them a chance to listen. How would they do that?
You can go to WGAMthegame.com, search under shows, and look for the WGAM MMA show. We podcast everything that we do, including, as we talked about the last segment, our interviews with Melvin Gallard and Joe Lozon, among other guests. As got to be fighting on this card as well, Kenny Florian. We've talked to Boss Rutan. We've talked to a bunch of guys named Rick Story, just to name a few. Bjorn Rebney, CEO of Bellator. You know, just go back and just check out the library of shows that we have. Be really interesting. You could also follow us on Twitter at WGAM_MMA. You can also follow the blog at WGAMMMA.com. And look for us on Facebook as well.
Yes. And for a Christmas present, PJ, can we get an iTunes feed?
Possibly.
I want that under my Christmas tree. We will get it. I hear you out there. You're asking for it. We will get it. Also, just real quick, again, lightning round. Spike TV prelims, very free this Saturday night. Anthony Pettis versus Jeremy Stephens. That's going to be good. And Damian Maia versus George Santiago. Damian Maia, again, was as recently as a year ago main eventing a pay-per-view, and now he's on the Spike card. And it's George Santiago looking for a big victory after his last loss to Brian Stann. And even on the Facebook fights, there's Mike Vincenzo's a local guy. He's fighting on the card. Also, Joey Beltran versus Stipe Miocic. That should be a good fight as well. So this is a very fun card coming to you from Houston, Texas, Saturday night. And we'll be tweeting during the event and maybe doing some blogging as well, depending on how much I drink. Okay. So, boy, there's so much to... Oh, so real quick, before we get to Tough, I want to talk about... we'll give a minute or so. Dominic Cruz, Demetrius Johnson, last Saturday, UFC on Versus. The final event on Versus, could not pick the better fight to main event with Dominic Cruz retaining the Bantamweight Championship. PJ, your thoughts?
Dominic Cruz looked good. Demetrius Johnson put up a hell of a fight. He just, it's not quite at the level of Dominic Cruz yet, and was able to hang with him, but Cruz ended up winning, I would say. I'd have to go back and see, but I would say a majority of those rounds, if not all of them.
I think it was 50-45 on all cards.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And Demetrius Johnson's very, very fast, and he's a very good fighter, and he will be back and be fighting for the title in the very near future, but he just wasn't quite ready just yet.
Yeah, I think the height difference of Cruz played a difference. The wrestling paid a difference every time he got to the ground. Johnson didn't have a lot of answers there. If they do the 125-pound division, as they say they're going to, again, as we talked to Johnson last week, that could be an obvious cut. Or, again, I think he's fine at 135. I think he'd have a better shot at 125. But what I loved about the fight was that it was great to have a championship fight, which during the fight, the champion was challenged. And I don't think we see that enough these days. And it's one of the more frustrating things of the sport is that, going back to Machida and Jones, I think we want to see fights where the outcome is always in doubt. If we have that in a fight, I think that's a great thing for the sport. The more fights we can get like that, the more championship fights we can get like that, the better off the sport will be. After that first round, Cruz was winded. He was like he was breathing heavy. I have never seen him do that before. And Demetrius Johnson put him to that. So well done. You can listen to his interview last week on the archives, as PJ said. Okay. Finish off the show with The Ultimate Fighter. The second regular episode, the third episode overall of the season, played Wednesday night. And PJ, without going in gory detail, I guess let's just go the highlights.
Well, the prank war continues between Team Bisping and Team Miller. The week prior, Team Miller put a bunch of tires in Bisping's dressing room, and Bisping kind of acted a little, you know, didn't take it very well. His prank back was to take the tires off Mayhem Miller's car. So to pay him back with the tires of his own. Miller laughed it off, thought it was great, tipped the proverbial hat to him. There's some infighting, though, going on, getting to the fighters. There's some infighting in the Bisping camp between, I'm drawing a blank, Marcus Brimage, who lost the week before.
Oh, Marcus Brimage and the kid from
the Brazilian guy.
Brazilian guy.
Yep. Which, was one of those things where you're supposed to be going 60%, and it ended up escalating. One guy hits a little harder, so the guy hits a little harder back, and then
they just start going at it a little bit too heavy. And
yep.
They apologized afterwards, but both guys were just, they wanted to hit each other. So this will happen again during the season, I guarantee it.
Diego Brandão. Getting to the fight, it was Team Miller's Johnny Bedford versus Team Bisping's Josh Ferguson. couple guys that they had some words for each other, and it was a very tense standoff once the fight was announced. I like how Mayhem Miller's calling our executioner. He's not calling the next fighter from my team. He's like, our executioner is.
He's awesome. I love absolutely it. Awesome.
He's been fantastic, and to match him up with it, and he's rather likable, and the guys on his team really seem to have taken to him. Like, they're warm up for one of their training sessions, which is beating each other with like the little pool noodles, and just like, all right, the rule number one in the UFC is defend yourself at all times. So he gave them all pool noodles, and they just beat the crap out of each other for their warm up. And the guys are really starting to take to it. Bisping, we mentioned the infighting in his camp, and he just seems like all the fighters there are just so much more tense, and I think it's rubbing off because of how he's acting. And of course, he's a guy that he's been on The Ultimate Fighter before, and he's a guy that you tend to dislike. Mm-hmm. He's not a very, very likable guy. So getting to the fight, Johnny Bedford controls this pretty much the entire time. Pushed him around. He had a 5-inch, it was also, by the way, the first of the bantamweight fights.
Yep.
But he's 5'10 and 135 pounds, which is, really thin.
Significant height reach.
Oh, yeah, and Josh Ferguson was only, I think, 5'5", so, but shoved Ferguson around, controlled the entire fight. It went the two rounds that they fight for the Ultimate Fighter, and it was a unanimous decision win for him. Team Miller now has the first two victories on the show. And after the fight, too, I like how Mayhem Miller apologized to Bisping's team. He's like, I'm sorry, but Bisping is failing you.
The tension between these two guys is just...
He's like, I know it's not your fault, it's your coach's fault.
You can feel it, right?
Yeah.
Initially, early on, I was a lot of joking around, but now Bisping's getting genuinely annoyed.
Yep.
This is...
They picked for the run of this show right now, for season 14.
If the fights are great, if you've not watched Ultimate Fighter in the past couple seasons because it's kind of been boring, come back. This season has been awesome. You can find all the fights. I believe UltimateFighter.com. Is that
UltimateFighter.com, yep.
You can see all the episodes. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. This season has been great. Johnny Bedford, I have a little bit of a man crush on. I love the name. I love his attitude. I said on Twitter, I don't actively root for fighters just because of what we do, but I love Johnny Bedford. I really do. So, having said that, I'm blushing. Blushing, PJ. All right. We talked all about UFC 136. You could not have got a more in-depth 40-minute discussion of UFC 136 than you got right here. It's this Saturday night pay-per-view. Get it. I told people, if ever thought about trying the UFC or MMA, this Saturday is the night to do it. Start with the Spike prelims for free. Get the pay-per-view. You'll love it. We talked about Rashad Evans. We talked about John Jones, Lyoto Machida, all kinds of stuff. And overall, this is a pretty damn good show. So for PJ Hewitt, thanks again.
Thank you.
As always, I'm Josh Nason. This has been the WGAM MMA Show. And friends, until next week, keep your chin down and your hands up. Good night.